probably shared this before, but that hymn that we were singing, It's Well With My Soul, the writer of that hymn had his family in Chicago. Back in the 1800s, there was a fire called the Chicago Fire, burned up a lot of Chicago. It all started by a cow kicking a bucket and in the barn and the straw pile where a man had his light to go milk his cow, and that's how the fire started. But that's not the point. The man and his had to get his family out of Chicago. They had nowhere to go. So he got them started. He stayed. They went to New York and got on a ship. And that ship wasn't like today with radar and all those kinds of things. Run into a storm before they got to England. And the ship went down. And she was saved on a life raft. But her daughters, two daughters, or I believe one maybe was saved with her, but two of them drowned in that. And she sent him a message on a telegram that her two daughters had perished. When he went to meet his family in England, he told the captain, "Will we be passing near where the ship went down that killed the people and some of them died?" He said, "Yes, we will." He said, "When we get close to that place, will you come and let me know or send someone?" He said he would. And so the captain did what he said he would do, and he wrote that song, It Is Well With My Soul. You can lose all your family possessions. You lose your family. But the most important thing that you have in your body is your soul, if you're a child of God. And if you don't have the Spirit of God in that soul, you need to do that. We'll be talking this morning about part of Solomon's prayer, maybe some more of it next week. But you cannot get closer to God by not praying. Praying is important. As a matter of fact, we'll read a little bit from there, but first, if you'd stand again while I read this and I'll have prayer, I want to look at a passage in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And that verse 1 and 2, Romans chapter 12 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God." Now we know what that means. That means that I'm getting something that I don't deserve. Mercy. You got grace. You didn't deserve that. Because of God's love and mercy, He gave you grace. "By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies." That means you. You're responsible for you. We're going to do communion somewhere, someplace. You present yourself to God and you say, "God, do you find anything in me or about me that's going wrong and you're displeased? Please tell me now." Because when I take that communion, I'm saying, "That blood and that body was shed for me. That precious blood." He said, "Present your bodies," which is what we have to give Him, "a living sacrifice." When Jesus died, He gave His life for you. If you're saved, you will die once. If you're not saved, you die twice. Give your bodies a living sacrifice, which is holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He said, "We're not asking for anything out of the ordinary." God paid for you on Calvary. Verse 2, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." We have to rethink our thinking. This world and this culture is changing fast. I know you know that. But we as a church got to do a reset. We got to reset and make sure. Woody got on the football games this morning. I must confess, I watched some. But they start to make it down and they get knocked back. The coach called a timeout. We got to reset. We're not doing something right. We got to reset for this world. That you present your bodies by the mercy of God. Now, be not conformed to this world. This world is calling you and me to get in step with it. They want us to accept homosexuality. They want us to accept transgenders. They want us to accept social drinking. Anything that is on the devil's side, they want us to get in the groove with that. The whole Biden administration is about to change our culture. He said, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove. How are you going to know what is the will of God if you don't talk to him? If you don't let him talk to you, what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God? Let's pray. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we bow before you this morning. We are certainly not acceptable all the time. Something went wrong. We got out of the will of God. We got out of step with God. Help us to get back in the step of God, to walk with him. That's Enoch of old walked, and he knew God, got close to God. And God was so enthralled, so in love with Enoch. One day when they were walking, he said, it's time for you to come and go home with me. And he took him home. God, help us to be ready at any moment to go. Help us to know why we're here, that our perfect will of God is to walk with God. And the more we walk with God, the more we know his will for our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We're looking at the first part of the will, the prayer that Solomon prayed. Solomon, the son of David. He had dedicated a temple. You heard that scripture reading this morning. David didn't have the right to build the temple because David was a man of war. And David was a man of war. Part of his punishment came after he and Bathsheba had committed adultery and he had had her husband murdered. And he said, when Nathan came forward to him and said to him, David, there's a man who took his little sheep from this house, and they only had one little sheep. What do you think we ought to do? I'm kind of paraphrasing fast through it. And he said, that man ought to pay fourfold. David, thou art the man. You're the one, David. So David can't build a temple. David's stepson, and well, one of them was daughter. They were half brothers and half sister. Committed adultery, the stepson or the half brother to the daughter. And David would know war the rest of his life because of what he did. And Solomon said because he was a man of war, he wasn't allowed to build a temple. But God has put that on me. By the way, think about who God uses. This is Solomon. He's a son of Bathsheba. Bathsheba was the one who had adultery with David. Don't matter who you are or what you've done, God will use you if you're a Christian. And if you're not, you can become one. And when you become one, God will use you in some ways. It was a harlot that guided the men into Jericho. She hung a red thread out the window, coming this way. And they marched around the walls of Jericho, and the faith of that woman and the faith of those men that they would have a free access into the building, they did. God is never in a hurry, but he's always on time. When Jesus' friend Lazarus died, the disciples were amazed. They sent him a message, but he didn't go. He waited another whole day. Someone wrote a song 4 days late, but he's still on time. I don't know what you're going through, what you've been through. I'm going through quite a bit myself, but God's always on time. Always on time. He's never late, never missed appointment, never got in a hurry. God knows all things. So, that last verse that he read, verse 21, and I have set there a place for the ark. The ark of the covenant would go in there. When Moses was marching with the people, they had that. The ark of the covenant. It had the rod in there. That was a little rod that about that long that would bloom. He said, there's the covenant of the Lord which he made with his fathers that he brought them out of the land of Egypt. My, what a God we have. What a great God we have. What a big God we have. But yet he's small enough to fit in your heart. And he's close enough to love you. For God so loved the world, the inhabitants of the world. When I finally got through my thick head that God loved me and I could be forgiven, I became the happiest person in the world. Because I had done so much that I knew was displeasing to God, but God would do it. Now notice, if you will, they've got the temple. They got the ark there. And Solomon goes before the ark, puts his hand up. That ark was representative of Jesus. Jesus is the one the Bible tells us when we pray in Jesus' name. We can say, oh God, all day. But if we don't get a hold of Jesus, we don't get a hold of God. Jesus is the one who gives us access into heaven, sets us before us, and one day we'll do it literally, but he does it figuratively and spiritually. Paul writes about it in Ephesians. We have a seat in heaven already with our name on it. If you're saved, he writes down your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you're already in, and you are as good as you're right there now. The lady said to one of the great preachers of the past, said, I hope to meet you in heaven. He said, well, lady, I'm sure I'm going to be there. What's your problem? What's your problem? And I'm not trusting on hope. I'm not trusting on Mama's prayers. I'm glad she prayed for her son and others and my dad. But that's not what got us into heaven. The precious, precious blood of Jesus. I'm going to be there. You're going to be there? You can have that assurance. He said, he puts us in his hand. Puts that hand in the hand of God. And Paul says, sealed with the Holy Spirit, the Trinity has us locked in. And the devil can't get us out. That's what makes him the maddest. When you get saved, because you're in there. That verse 1, or verse 22, excuse me, 1 Kings chapter 8. And Solomon stood before the altar in the presence of the Lord, in the presence of all the congregation of Israel, and spread forth his hands toward heaven. Are you a praying person? Are you ashamed to pray? Are you ashamed to pray when you go out and eat your meals? Some people are ashamed to pray. They're prey. You're ashamed of God. He wasn't ashamed of you. He wasn't ashamed of the thief on the cross. When the one thief said, if you're so good, you're so great, you're so wonderful, get us down out of here. I don't want this mess anymore. You claim to be able to save. The other thief turned to him and said, you ought to be quiet. You and I deserve to be here. You do and I do. We ought to be paying for it. But he did not. And he turned back to Jesus and said, when you get there, remember me. This night, you shall be with me in paradise. Be with him. Absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Do we pray enough? Do we talk enough? And so Solomon begins his prayer in the temple, in front of the Ark of the Covenant, praying to God. And we're going to look at some excerpts from that prayer this morning. But he's there. He had time to pray. We're not praying anymore. We've done everything we can to stop prayer. We write laws and can't pray here, can't pray there. Someone said there'll be prayer in school as long as they have trigonometry. I don't know about that, but I know one thing. We can pray anywhere, anytime. Every time I greet somebody I haven't seen before, God bless you. God bless you. That's a prayer that God blesses you. Might be short and sweet, but God hears it. God hears it. So he spread his hands toward heaven. And notice what he says. If any man, in verse 31, if any man trespass against his neighbor, God is interested in taking care of people that do wrong. You don't have to run and hide when you sin, like Adam and Eve. I'm amazed at the people that run away from God. They get in trouble and quit coming to church. Isn't that a crazy thing to do? The very thing that's your refuge, you run from. Adam and Eve, it's in the blood. They run away and hid. They run and hid in among the trees. By the way, what tree are you hiding behind? Don't hide behind a tree. Come out to Jesus Christ. Stand before him. Forgive me, O God. I've been waiting for you to hear this. Been waiting for you to hear that. But if any man trespass against his neighbor, we all do. I hurt your feelings. I said something wrong. I didn't recognize it. Whatever I did, I want you to forgive me. He said, make an oath. And cause him to swear, and the oath come before the altar of this house. Today, we can make an oath with Jesus in our prayer. Forgive me, I wronged a soul today. Forgive me, I said a bad word. Forgive me, I missed my appointment. Forgive me. He says, then, notice that, most people don't want to go through that process of being forgiven. He said, and then, hear thou in heaven, and do. I said you a while ago, it takes us right into heaven. He says, and judge thy servants, condemning the wicked, to bring his way upon his head, and justifying the righteous, to give him according to his righteousness. And we get our righteousness from Jesus Christ. When you got saved, if you got saved, Jesus Christ took his robe of righteousness off and put it around you. And you're made righteous. You're not made righteous for what you do. You're made righteous for what he does and what he did. If you've never had that done, that's what you want to do once for all. Done. Good. Sealed. Stamped. Has the king's insignia on it. Jesus Christ. Someone said it's like the fishing pond. My sins are buried here, and God don't allow any fishing. Amen. I get so sick of people saying to me, Pastor Hud, you don't want to know him. You don't know what he's done. Thank God I don't. Thank God I don't. I don't even know what I've done because God put him in the sea of forgetfulness, and if he's going to forget it, I am too. Amen. We agree on that. Sins, where are my sins? Gone, gone, gone. Buried in the deepest sea. Praise God, that's good enough for me. All right? We spend so much time, waste so much time aggravating ourselves when we should have put it in the sea of forgetfulness. Then look at verse 33. Another excerpt from his prayer. When thy people Israel be smitten down before the enemy because they have sinned against thee. You think America's being smitten today? America's being smitten by God. I don't think God said that thing. Well, it don't matter what you think. God is in the business of bringing us to our knees so we'll call on him and not Dr. Fauci, because he don't know what he's doing. Oh, the science tells us. Science don't tell us anything. God knew everything. God knows every planet, every star that falls. We need to get a hold of God. We'll kick God out of school so we can put more science in, and now they don't know science or God. They can't even count. They can't even read because we kicked them out of school. And we wonder, what's wrong? Why are they taking drugs? Why are they doing all this stuff? Because we've turned it into a crazy world. Look at it. He said, but if they pray toward this place and confess thy name and turn from their sin, then when thou afflictest them, then hear thou in heaven and forgive the sin of thy servants, of thy people Israel, that thou teach them the good way wherein they should walk, and give rain upon the land which thou hast given to thy people inheritance. God, when we get some bad stuff come at us, turns our nation upside down, we spend more time talking to some man or some woman if they believe in abortion before we put them on the Supreme Court. How crazy are we? You think God's happy with that? And we got somebody over here crying Black Lives Matter, and we kill black babies. That's the number one ones they're killing. We're walking backwards. And we go down and let murderers and rapists in, and we get them, turn them loose in our prison. Duh. You know, you don't have to be an Einstein to see why God's unhappy with America, do you? Everything's backwards. Didn't he say in the last days we'd be calling right wrong and wrong right? Yeah, well, we've got there. And I like Biden's speech last week, telling us how bad these guys over here are that's trying to stop all this stuff. They're gonna take away America. He's taking away America. My God, help us. Is this good stuff or what? Education. Then we go to verse 37. If there be in the land famine, we're hearing of floods, wars, rumors of wars, floods. hurricanes. And these scientists are now saying we're going to have more hot weather than we've ever had. So, when an iceberg falls on somebody, I guess they'll wake up. If there be a pestilence, blasting mildew, locusts, or if there be a caterpillar, that caterpillar and that locust is guided by God's hand to go right where He wants it to go. Think of it. And if their enemy besieged thee in the land or their cities, whatsoever plague, whatsoever sickness there be, God don't send them. Oh, yes, He does. What prayer? Of course He used evil people. He's using China to do it. We know that. And it tells us that in Proverbs, that God uses even the wicked. He's been using it for years to judge Israel, but they're too stubborn to see that. Whatsoever sickness there be, what prayer and supplication, verse 38, which shall know every man, or all thy people Israel, shall know every man the plague of his own heart, and spread forth his hands toward this house. Then hear thou in heaven, thy dwelling place, and forgive, and do, and give to every man according to his ways, whose heart thou knowest. For even thou only knowest the hearts of all the children of women. God knows all. God knows what you do, why you did it, and where you hid the body. Yeah, He does. He don't need detectives. God's got the Holy Spirit, knocks on the heart's door of the person who messed up. I've not been sleeping very good. No, you're not going to until you get right with God. Somebody's praying for you. Several years ago, a lady said, I want you to pray for my husband. I said, what are you praying for? She said, pray for he gets saved. I said, okay. Saw her a few days later. She said, your prayer is not working. I said, what's the prayer? What's wrong? She said, he's sick. He's in the hospital. I said, God answered my prayer. She said, what? I said, God, do whatever it takes to that man to get him saved. I said, what hospital is he in? I'll go see him. Went to go see him. Started praying for him. She said, oh, he's not a bad person. I said, lady, sit down and be quiet. That's nice for shut up, right? I'd tell that to somebody one day. A woman, when I was an assistant principal, I was the disciplinarian of Huntington Area High School. And the woman, her son, older sister, took him out to pass his driver's test, and he did. On the way back, they stopped and had a beer. Probably had more than one, I don't know. Well, the kids come and told me, said, the kid down there smells like they had something to drink. I called them in. I said, sit down. I called their mother. She said, Mr. Hodge, I am a working woman. I don't have time for foolishness. I don't have time. I said, lady, you need to get here now. Right now. They've been drinking. What? You don't know what you're talking about. I'm going to have you arrested for accusing my kid. I said, come on. In the meantime, I got my boss in. I said, take a spell. He said, they've been drinking. Come in. Started talking to him. His mother, he jumped in. He said, I said, shut up. Shut up. She said, why'd you tell him shut up? I said, because I want him to shut up. I want to talk to you. You should tell him once in a while. More to the story. I could write a book. about what's wrong with our country. God wants to forgive. Verse 41. We're almost through. You don't have anything burning in the oven, do you? We've done it at our house. We've done it at our house. If you want to know what rotten eggs smell like, just put some to boil on the stove and go away for a day. It'll be on the ceilings. Yeah, we had it happen. Verse 41. Moreover, I like this verse. Concerning a stranger that is not of the people of Israel. Those people coming across the border, if they want to come in legally and they're not some kind of a lawbreaker, they can come in. They can come in. It's not those people that we're keeping out. It's the rapists. We're trying to screen them. How are you going to screen a million people a day and find out who they are? And like I said, I didn't have enough paperwork on him to hold him, so we turned him loose. He just shot and killed another kid. I don't understand where their brain is. I think I know where it is, but I'm not allowed to say. But if he comes from a far country, for thy name's sake. So he comes. He says, I want to be part of it. That is the picture of a weary soul coming to Jesus. Israel's supposed to be a light. The church's supposed to be a light. You're the soul coming to Jesus. I want Jesus to say, I want to be a part. I want God to take me in. He takes anybody. Whosoever believeth on the Lord shall, not may, could be, shall be saved. Whosoever believeth. Aren't you glad you're one of the whosoever? Whosoever meaneth me. He scraped a bottle of the barrel, but he got to the bottom and got me. He come for my namesake. David say, for his name's sake, he's a good shepherd. Verse 42, for they shall hear of thy great name and of thy strong hand and of thy stretched out arm. When he shall come and pray toward this house. You got to believe in Jesus. Oh, it don't matter what you believe as long as you believe. Oh, no. You can get out of here on this roof and think you can fly. If you jump off, you're going to break your neck. It's not what you believe. It's who you believe. You believe Jesus. Okay. You understand all that, right? Verse 43 in closing. Hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and do according to all that the stranger calleth thee for. If you call on Jesus today, God hears in heaven, he'll take you in. And that all the people of earth may know thy name and fear thee, for as do thy people Israel, and that they may know that this house which I have builded is called by thy name. Are you in the house of God? Not this place. Are you in the security of God? Jesus is building a house. Tells us about it over there. We're the precious stones. Every time somebody gets saved, precious stone. Jesus is the chief cornerstone placed on him. Are you in that number? Let's stand for prayer. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we bow before you and thank you. We thank you for the precious word. We thank you for the souls that have been saved. We thank you for those that have been baptized. Lord, we don't know how much longer we have, but as long as we have, we want to keep preaching the word, getting people saved, ready for heaven, ready to live, and praise God, one day ready to die. Once. One time. But if they don't do that, they have to die two times. That awful physical death, and then that terrible death of going into hell. when Jesus says, depart from me, for I never knew you. What a terrible thing to have to face. Come now. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, as the piano plays, the altar is extended to you that you may come. God wants you in his house. You were created for God. God never created hell for man. If you go to hell, you go there because you chose to go there. And if you go to heaven, God has already chosen you. All you have to do is accept that. If you ignore him and turn down his invitation, you face death and hell, the eternal death. We're going to sing a verse or two. You come if he's calling you. Okay, thank you for coming. Don't forget the offering at the door will be for the mission trip last spring. We helped them get down to Kentucky and the other part of the state and build houses. You're going to be out in the eastern part this time, on the 1st of October, so that's what your money will be going for. All right. Thank you for coming. Don't forget we're having communion tonight. Come back. And I forgot to introduce our visitors. Raise your hand. He and his wife are with us, first-time visitors. We got several people out today. I don't know where all of them are. I know where some of them are. We got some in Alaska. How about that? How many's been to Alaska? I've been to Alaska. Killed my dog, sheep. Oh, we got any animal rights people? Would you kill a rat? Would you kill a snake? I hate two kinds of snakes, live ones and dead ones. Okay, for our guys to get ready for the offering at the door, ask Ed to have our offertory prayer for the offering for the men.